Welcome to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. My name is Marcus Cole, Director of Soccer Operations and Branding. Now, before we begin today's show, I just want to remind you that once you've had a chance to check out our program, make sure you give our podcast the 5-star rating and make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast. That helps you stay up to date on the latest content from us, and it helps us get the word out to others and let them know that we're providing valuable information for soccer players, coaches, referees, and parents. On the phone with us today is Brandon Ponchak, General Manager and Assistant Coach of the Cincinnati Dutch Lions Football Club, Director of Goalkeeping at Ohio Elite Soccer Academy, and owner of S1 Goalkeeping. Brandon, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to chatting.
Why don't you go ahead, before we get into things, why don't you go ahead and give our audience just a little bit of background, quick background about you?
Yeah, so I was born and raised in Southeast Ohio, so I'm a proud product of Appalachia. West Virginia, I have some good connections there. My brother used to live there for 7 years or so. I grew up just right across the river from Parkersburg, basically. Have a strong spot in my heart about West Virginia Appalachia soccer. I played as a goalkeeper into college. I started training goalkeepers right out of college. Got into college coaching for about 8 years. And then entering 2020, it'll be my fourth season with the Cincinnati Dutch Lions, and really enjoy what we've been able to accomplish here. And the impact we've been able to have here in greater Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky area, and as well as, you know, hopefully some bigger things happening with the new development of the Ohio Valley Premier League.
Wonderful. Part of the reason why we had you on the show is just your goalkeeping expertise, and I figured that was sort of an underserved thing in our state. Why don't you go ahead and just give us your overall thoughts about development of youth goalies at the grassroots level that you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been able to train goalkeepers in a variety of states, probably 4 or 5 states now, since I started my coaching career in around 2007. One of the biggest things I think is goalkeepers need to train all positions. They need experience with field players and continuing to be field players, and shouldn't be specializing early. And I would say even nothing younger than 12 years old, U12s, you know, don't be specializing. I mean, it's going to be very rare where you're going to have a U12, anybody under, you know, U12, that's going to say, you know, I'm going to be a goalkeeper. That's all I want to do. And I'm going to do it for the rest of my life.
Right.
So rare. So these players, you need to get in every aspect of training, and coaches need to train goalkeepers if they're goalkeeper in there, they need to train them as field players, and field players need to have experience in the goal as well. You just never know what a player could become. I ask my goalkeepers now with Ohio Elite when I start training the junior players, so what position are you going to play in 3 years? Right. They don't know. Mm-hmm. Because they're 10 years old or they're 11 years old. And, you know, some of them will say, well, I'm going to be a right back or I want to be a center back. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with getting goalkeeper training right now and developing into another position later. I didn't develop to be a full-time goalkeeper until my sophomore year in high school. So I only had 3 years of full-time goalkeeping before I went to college.
Right.
So training, grassroots training, incorporate as much mobility, basic handling, balance, reaction, whatever you can do to get players used to goalkeeping, but also used to being a field player.
I think one of the things that I like about the way that they've set up these small-sided games and stuff like that at the grassroots younger age groups is just the fact that there is no goalie in the 4v4, in the 7v7 formations and setups and stuff. We only start to experience that once they get to the 9v9. And, I think you hit on a really important point of, and we see it nowadays too. We hear about, I mean, even from, you know, the English Premier League, hearing about coaches that want their goalies to act like field players, and have that ability and be able to be proficient under pressure and being able to play with their feet and be able to, you know, build the attack out of the back. I mean, what are some of the concepts more specifically that we need to be working with our younger age groups to help prepare players for that possible position somewhere down the road, like you said, where they may decide that that's something they may want to do?
Yeah, one of the first things, it's just a fun little aspect of it, but everybody knows how kids are with projectiles. You know, like even if you fake something throwing at them, they're going to duck. They're going to kind of cower a little bit because they're afraid of getting hit by something. You know, like no matter the sport, baseball, softball, even American football, like when they try to catch a football, they kind of stick both hands straight out in front of them and kind of turn their head to the side and clinch up a little bit. So how can we alleviate that issue all around? And it's just playing some simple things that just say, hey, you know what? This is a ball. It's just leather and air. That's it. Like, it's not going to hurt you. It might sting a little bit, but in the end, it's not really going to hurt. So can we get them to not be afraid of the ball? And that's across field players as well. I mean, to me, that's part of the concept of not heading a ball at those younger ages, right? Because in the end, they're still just afraid of the ball and they're not developed enough. So can we maybe incorporate a softer ball or, you know, like some of these squishier dodgeballs that they might use now instead of those rubber stinging ones that we used to use growing up? You know, like there's some fun things that we can do to say, you know what, this is just a ball. You're okay when you get in the way of a projectile. Like a soccer ball or a baseball or a softball, you know, and this small sided stuff and youth training, we're not trying to win World Cups.
Agreed.
We need to teach them and get them to expect to develop. Nobody's going to be immediately prepared to be a goalkeeper, especially now, like even 4v4 to 7v7, 9v9 to 11v11, the goal size changes.
Yep.
So you can't expect somebody to automatically go from 9v9 to 11v11 and get the hang of a bigger goal, especially when players are still growing into their bodies. I feel like I was always one of the smaller goalkeepers ever on a field, no matter who I was playing against. And I'm just an average 5'10 guy, maybe 5'11 with my studs on. And it can work out. There's no size requirement for a goalkeeper. But you just got to expect, hey, I'm growing as a goalkeeper, but I also need to understand I may not be a goalkeeper in 2 years or 3 years, or I may be a good field player right now, but maybe, just maybe, in order to find the field in high school, they need a goalkeeper and I need to jump in there as a goalkeeper. That's essentially what happened to me. We needed a backup goalkeeper my freshman year. I was that guy. I didn't get much experience. He graduated after my freshman year. We had no other goalkeeper, so I became full-time goalkeeper.
You know, as these players do get older, I've seen over my experiences being a coach, you see maybe one or two kids that sort of gravitate towards being a goalie. I don't know whether it's, you know, playing out in the backyard or, you know, playing during recess and, you know, you get these guys, oh, I'll go in the goal. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. I want to be in there. What can we do as grassroots coaches, to help foster, a positive, experience for these players that do want to gravitate towards that position as they get older?
Yeah. I love it. I love it when kids want to be goalkeepers and maybe specialize in goalkeeping, but I still think that we shouldn't always keep them in between the pipes, that they still need to get out and play as a field player occasionally, because it's going to help their mobility. It's going to help their vision. It's going to help them technically and tactically. And the flip side of that too is other field players, they may be advanced field players at the youth, you know, the grassroots levels, but other players may surpass them eventually. and as a field player. So they need to understand, you know what, goalkeeping isn't a bad position, that you can get more playing time potentially as a goalkeeper, because you might be the only one in that position on your team or has experience. And that's how it was, again, for me as a high schooler. I was really the only one that had experience as a goalkeeper in high school. So I developed into the backup, who eventually became a starter, and am still the only player from my high school to play 4 years of college soccer. And I did that as a goalkeeper, and I never specialized until my sophomore year.
I had a funny story that happened. I was at one of our state events that we hosted, and a coach that I know rather well, I was standing there at the halfway line and sort of talking to him a little bit as he was watching his team play. And he said, watch this. And a ball ended up getting played back to his goalkeeper. And, you know, kid played very patiently, played very calmly, and you know, was cool, calm, and collected. And just, I mean, and that's how he played. And the coach admitted to me at one point and said, you know, he's probably has the best skills, foot skills, of anybody I have on the team. And he attributed that to the fact that he played out on the field for so many years, developed that way. And then he kind of found himself wanting to go into the goal. And that just, I think, benefited him tremendously and benefited his teams too as well.
Oh, that's great to hear. I mean, in the end, natural selection in the soccer world occurs.
Agreed. Like, yep.
Goalkeepers will eventually become a goalkeeper at some point in their life. Field players the same, no matter what position it is. You know, like, they might be a striker when at 12 years old, but they might end up being a center back when they're 16 years old. The same, like, and we just need to continue to give them opportunities in the goal, no matter what position they think they are right now. Hey, guess what? For the team, for this training session, you're going to be in the goal. It's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And we encourage it. We can have fun with them. But what we're not going to do is we're not going to say, you're the goalkeeper for our team, and you're going to stay as our goalkeeper for our team for years. What happens when that kid leaves soccer, or that kid leaves for another sport, or that kid moves out of the area? Now you're stuck without a goalkeeper if you haven't developed more goalkeepers for your team.
Yes, I agree. 100% on that. I think, though, also, I think maybe coaches make a mistake, and wanted to get your thoughts on how to handle the situation where, obviously, you know, you want to, you know, see what kids have to offer in the various positions. How do you deal with the fact of a kid who's just, no, that's, I don't want to do that. I mean, my daughter was the same way. She, you know, had some experience playing in goal in some of her youngers, just to kind of get the experience of it. And she didn't like it. And I was her coach at the rec level at that age, and, you know, didn't force her to do that. But I've seen some situations where they kind of force some of the players into that situation. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, forcing them is tough. I mean, we don't want to scare anybody away from it. You know, like, if they're not ready, they're not ready. And that's one of those things I heard one time doing a goalkeeper course that I did, and I just needed to get it out of the way. And, you know, like, somebody asked, when should we teach 1v1, you know, how to defend 1v1s as goalkeepers? And the instructor said, you know, U7 or U8. And that just made me cringe, because at U7 or U8, you don't want these kids diving at other people's feet. You don't want them to put them in a situation where the kids can't control their own bodies, and they're going to cause impacts, which could cause injury. And it could just keep them shying away from the sport altogether. And we don't want to do that. So, like, can we incorporate a fun activity where they don't think that they're not necessarily a goalkeeper? And that's, we still play even with our pre-professionals, our high-level amateurs, since we still play team handball, and it's just basic catching activities. It's not a goalkeeper specific thing, but we're trying to, I mean, people, it is absolutely brutal when they're together, and they love playing team handball. and the arguments about what's happening, who's winning. It's great, but it's just a fun activity to say, you know what? It's motor skills. It's hand-eye coordination. It's getting people not to be afraid of the ball thrown at them.
That was one of my favorite activities.
it never gets old, really. You know?
And you're right. It does get very competitive too.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, especially with these. I mean, the higher you go with them, the more and more competitive it'll get.
Yep. Now, what are some mistakes that clubs are making when it comes to their goalies? Do you think some of the biggest mistakes?
I think pressuring. I mean, this goes back to what we were just talking about, right? Pressuring players to become goalkeepers and specializing too early. This player may not be a field player for you that's going to get minutes, that doesn't automatically mean that he or she is going to be a good goalkeeper. And I talked with a coach and friend of mine about this a couple months ago, and he trains goalkeepers as well. And we felt like at some points that we see goalkeepers that we know that may not be the best field players because they're just not good soccer players right now. So coaches say, oh, you're just going to be a goalkeeper. And that's not the case. Like, we can train them to be everything, and it's okay to keep them as a field player, even though they may not be the best field player right now. That doesn't mean that they're automatically a goalkeeper just because they're not a good field player. And just because you need one and that may not be your best player and you can quote unquote sacrifice them to be your goalkeeper, you know, so that's kind of forcing them into the position and allowing them to stay in that position. They still need experience in the field. They need developed as a whole player. Goalkeepers need to be involved in technical passing exercises. They needed to be involved in rondos. They need to be included in not every training session, but they need to be included in tactical exercises that from the team's perspective. How are you going to attack? How are you going to defend from the front? Those aspects within your team setting. So they understand what's required of playing for your team. And what happens if they become a field player and there's an injury or somebody's able to jump in goal, and now that player, that goalkeeper is forced to be a center back or a center midfielder. Now they need to understand what your team tactics are and how they can fit in.
Now, it seems just based upon my experience here in the state of West Virginia that most goalies do not get position-specific training during training sessions just because of lack of experience in coaches in training that position. I mean, I know some of our travel clubs have goalkeeper sessions that they offer as well, along with you know, their participation in the club separate from their normal training sessions. How important is it for a goalkeeper to get that position specific training as they get older?
It's extremely important. I mean, it's one of the few positions on a soccer field that probably is extremely specific. I mean, maybe you equate it to a pitcher in baseball. Like, pitchers don't need to be incorporated all the time in outfield exercises or infield exercises. They need to learn the mechanics of being a pitcher properly. Same as goalkeeping. Eventually, they're going to need that specific training. But what also needs to happen is that training needs to be applied in team sessions as well. So we can kick balls all we want at goalkeepers during goalkeeper training, but if they're never put into it in a team training exercise, then they can't just receive it during match play. You know, so if we're working on a team possessing around a box and creating in the final third, the goalkeepers need to be there and need to see it and speak it and get those live repetitions all the time. I mean, goal kicks. I talk with my goalkeepers right now about goal kicks. The a lot of the only times they practice goal kicks is when they're with me or they're, it's in a match. They very rarely get goal kick opportunities in a team organized training session unless they're playing 11v11, which how many goal kicks occur in those anyway? Not very many. So how can we expect goalkeepers to fully understand the tactics behind goal kicks if we don't put them in that and we don't manufacture that ourselves?
And that's such an important point too, just because of where these goal kicks happen in your defensive third. I mean, that's where you have to, you know, be more diligent with what you're doing with the ball as opposed to just blasting the ball upfield.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
One thing that we focus here on our podcast and talking, and one thing that I believe in wholeheartedly is a phrase I like to call controlling the controllables, and athletes being in charge of the things that they eat, the things that they drink, getting enough sleep, the things that they control outside of, you know, dealing with coaching decisions or playing conditions or anything along that lines. What do you think most goalies overlook when it comes to their own development in controlling their controllables?
Yeah, I love that terminology there as well. I mean, because that I talked earlier about gym rats, you know, and on the Touchline podcast on Wednesday, and it was players need to become gym rats again. Take your development in your own hands. It's not your coach's job to develop you. It's one of their roles as a coach, but it's not their job. They can't make you develop. You develop on your own and with your own motivations to become a better player. My wife's a teacher. She doesn't teach Spanish, but let's just use, if I only focus on learning Spanish in my hour or 3 hours of training a week, like soccer could become or is at times, I'm not going to learn Spanish how I could if I just did it on my own and did a lot on my own and applied it in my life in a lot of different aspects. You know, taking 30 minutes of learning Spanish a day is going to be more beneficial than 2 hour-and-a-half sessions a week.
Right.
So soccer is going to be very similar. Goalkeeping is the same thing. I need to focus as a goalkeeper on whole player development. I need to be able to pass. I need to be able to receive. It needs to be done on several levels on the field. Can I play out of the back short? Can I find the next level pass? Can I break lines? Can I see the whole field? I trained a goalkeeper that he was taught at college to always receive across his body. Let's say from playing from his right back, he always received across his body to his left foot so he could play it to his left back. And I asked, I said, what happens if that's not on? And that's how he always did it. I said, what happens if your center midfielder is your best option and you've just received across your body to play to your left back? Now you force yourself in kind of a hole of, I have to take another touch to potentially see some other options, which slows your playing down when that center mid could have been the best option immediately, or center, it doesn't matter what that is. We need to be able to see that whole field. So only I can really continue to do that myself as long as I understand that. You know, some other aspects of controlling control, like I need to be fit, period.
I think that's a misconception too, that goalies need to be fit.
Yeah. Like, some of the best goalkeepers I've ever worked with and talked with, they were towards the top of their team, or maybe at the top of their team in almost every fitness category or testing that they did. Like, don't accept, oh, you know what? I'm a goalkeeper. It's okay. I don't meet the same standard, fitness standard as a central midfielder because I don't run as much as them. Your fitness helps your mobility. It helps your agility. At the youth level, again, you don't know what you're going to become. If you don't maintain some sort of fitness, and that's not saying you have to go out and run 3 miles every day. I'm just, you, like, again, watching what goes into your body and all that stuff. Like, what happens if you all of a sudden need to be a center midfielder? and you're not maintaining your fitness, well, you're definitely not going to become a center midfielder. And you may find yourself lower on the pecking order in your team sheet because you haven't maintained your fitness. But here's the other thing. Not only is that an internal thing, but that's an external thing. So if you're maintaining your fitness as a goalkeeper, what kind of impact will that have on your team to maintain fitness standards? Because there's players that they don't want to lose to goalkeepers.
Absolutely.
So if
I'm not losing to the guy who doesn't run.
So if we can maintain our fitness standard at a higher level than some field players, maybe that helps them kind of understand that their fitness standard needs to be higher as well.
Absolutely. It's a, you know, motivational type thing. And also too, I like the idea of being fit helps you with injury prevention, because I mean, you're only as good as how often you're available.
100%. Yeah, that's a great aspect I didn't even address. I mean, the last thing you want to do is take an injury that's very preventable just by being fit. Flexible. How about that one? That's something that we talk about and that we not talked about in fitness standards, the flexibility standard of fitness. And especially with goalkeeping, how incredibly important flexibility is. You don't know what type of body contortions you might find yourself in because of trying to make a huge save. So I guess the last one of controlling, like, the psychological aspect of game pressures, of training sessions and training preparation, and rebounding after conceding or maybe a tough loss, that we got to have short-term memories as goalkeepers. We can't let things beat us up too much. It's okay. You know, like, nobody was harder on me than myself. I hate conceding. I hate losing more than I like winning. But I can't let that get me down. And especially youth goalkeepers can't either. Like, you're going to give up goals. That's all there is to it. You're going to. But you don't go hitting goalposts or kicking goalposts, because you're only going to hurt yourself. And it sets a bad precedent as well with your team. They'll start dragging their heads. The opponents will see you getting upset. So they're like, oh, we're under the goalkeeper's skin, so we can just keep on going. Nah, keep your head up, chin up, get to the next one. You know, again, you control what's in your own head. We got to be stronger and understand, yeah, we'll concede, but we're going to get the next one. We're going to make that save. Maybe that was a mistake I had. Well, guess what? I'm not going to let the ball slip through my hands again. That was just a lapse of focus. I need to be better this time around in that focus.
I think a great skill, and I try to teach this to my children because I'm this way and this is just how I'm wired, is I'm able to put things in compartments after they happen and deal with them at the appropriate time. A mistake on your part as a goalkeeper, if you can take that and go, okay, I made a mistake, I'm going to put this over here, I'm going to deal with it later, and then get back to, like you were saying, get back to the focus of the game. Then once the match is over and you go get something to eat and you have time to think about it, come back to that, pull it out of the compartment, say, all right, I made a mistake here, I looked at the game film, and I need to, you know, I didn't do this time. Why didn't I do that? And then go through that process. It's during a match is not the time to be doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's a game film. That's a huge aspect as well that could be incorporated. Probably more from the club's perspective. Parents, you know, maybe they can help their youth goalkeepers by just filming them as a goalkeeper and seeing what we can do to address, you know, some of the errors that might occur during training or games. That's one of those I would like to incorporate in my youth training more, is some video aspects, because we can learn so much by watching ourselves.
Absolutely. And film doesn't lie, you know, and it's very exposing and more believable than your coach who's on you all the time. about something that you're doing and saying, you know, you're not doing this. This is what's leading to this. Oh, coach is just, he's just getting on me for whatever reason and stuff. Then you look at the game footage and you're like, oh, I am doing that. I don't know why. Yeah. Coach is right.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. Or, you know, that's one of those things. Can I address it myself? Can I control myself so the coach doesn't have to call me out on these mistakes?
Absolutely.
You know, like, hey, I recognize I made that mistake. I needed to be off my line further. Instead of hesitating, I just needed to make that decision and go with it. I don't need to be called out on that. I did it myself. And guess what? I'm not going to allow it to happen again. I saw it. I corrected it myself. There we go. Let's move on.
Hey, Brandon, before we wrap things up, why don't you go ahead and give our audience just a little bit more information on how they can get in contact with you. You're on social media. Obviously, you have your S1 goalkeeping. Just tell us a little bit more about that and how they can get in contact with you.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm best reached probably on Twitter. It's a little easier to type that out. It's Ponchak, at Ponchak CDLFC. So PONCHAK CDLFC. That's my Twitter handle. My email is available on our website on cdlfc.com. S1 goalkeeping. It's a high quality glove, professional level glove that's not going to break the bank. Retails $40. Great glove. I've been doing it since April. I wanted an affordable glove. I wanted to provide gloves that people can utilize and aren't going to feel harsh about saying, you know, I don't want to spend $120 on a good pair of gloves. We have that. They're worn by professional goalkeepers all over Europe. I'm the only one that provides in the U.S. And we need that. We need affordable gloves, quality gloves, and available. And that's S1GKUSA. And that's at gmail.com. And that's our Twitter handle as well. S and then the number 1GKUSA. Great gloves. I can't say enough about them. They've been working for me very well. Nothing but positive reviews from them. I know that I'm a salesman for it, but that's why I got it. Cause I was really excited to get a glove company that has the same views as I do with the position.
Great. Brandon, I certainly appreciate you taking the time today to talk with us here on the podcast.
I appreciate you. Continue to do what you do. I love seeing everybody give back to the game. The game's done so much for me, and I hope we continue to do so much for the game and for kids because they deserve it.
Thank you for listening to the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast here on the West Virginia Soccer Association Digital Network. Now that you've heard our show, make sure you give our podcast a 5-star rating and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next Thursday with another episode, so we hope to see you next week. Take care.